in Psalms 51 and 1 through, I'll go to 6. David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in thy hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Precious Lord, we just thank you this morning. We thank you, Father God. We can cry out like David.
Yes, Lord.
Blot out my transgressions. All of us who are saved and born again and have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior has had our sins blotted out. Father, thank you for blotting them out. Giving me a new start. Thank you for blotting out the sins that I'll commit in the future and blotting them out too. Thank you, Lord, for being a good God. Thank you for being not like a man-made God, but a good God, a living God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Blotting out our past. How many in here have had their past blotted out? That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. In the days of old, when you had a debt or you had a bill, how many in here have counted down the last two or three payments of a payment book for a car or for some furniture or a house? I've heard people having deed burning ceremonies when the deed is the church is paid off. They have a ceremony where they burn the deed symbolically of being free from that. Being free from that. I paid off many cars in my days, and it seemed like I get down to the last few payments, and I just can't wait. It's nothing like driving a car that's paid off. Amen. Amen. David is saying to God, he's saying, God, blot out my transgressions. And I said earlier in the show, you know, the world ain't blotting out anything. Okay? The world not blotting. Now you make a mistake and the world gonna hold that thing on you constantly. They never gonna look at you as forgiven. But what David is saying here, what was the formula? You get a payment book and you owe somebody some money, and instead they ain't had computers, they can send you letters in the mail. What they would do is they would take paint and they would wipe it off, cover that bill up, cover that debt up, and that represented it being paid. It was blotted out. It was blotted out. And those of us that have a history. I listen, and all of us in here have history. We're going to talk about some of that history, okay? I thought about it, and I said, you know, it's Black History Month, and I have a Black History message, and I'm sitting here like, and then God put this song on my heart. Came out of nowhere. You'd be studying, sometimes you'd be studying, and God says this to me, and you guys are familiar with the song. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship Christ our Lord. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship Christ our Lord. Let us what? Let us worship him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify his name. Make him big.
Amen.
make God big. Let us magnify his name. Last verse. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship Christ our Lord. And that song just goes on and repeats and repeats and repeats. But like David, the greatest king of Israel. And you heard me often say, we ought to praise the Lord. We ought to thank God every time he uses David as an example of a man after God's own heart. Because if he'd have used Daniel, if he'd have used Joseph, we'd be in trouble. We'd been like, the standard's too high. The standard's too high. But the prophet Nathan came into the room where David was at and really caught David off guard. Hard to catch the king off guard. It's hard to catch the king off guard. I got a guy here that used to be a warden. Hard to catch a warden off guard, you know. When he knows what's going on, and you come in and you catch the warden off guard, that's a problem. The king wasn't thinking about what was going on. He knew what was going on because you read the rest of the verse. You knew it was causing him problems. But Nathan came in and said, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." And David immediately wrote a psalm. He says, "Have mercy on me, an adulterer, a murderer, someone who has committed treason or disloyalty to the army." David sent Uriah up to the front and pulled the men back. He killed that man. And in the Old Testament, an adulterer or a murderer, they were to be stoned. There was no mercy in the Old Testament. The law didn't give grace. The law didn't, there was no mercy in the law. And all the law did was show you your sin. All the law did was show you a sin. That's why when they brought the woman in the caught in the very act of adultery to Jesus, they expected him to stone her. Little did they know, grace had showed up. This happened 700 years before the birth of Christ. But David, because he was a king, because he was a man after God's own heart, he cried out for mercy. In a time where there was no mercy, he cried out for mercy. And he said, "Lord, have mercy. Mercy on me." And mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Amen. And we, like David, we ought to cry out every day for mercy. And David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies." Tender mercies. David knew God was tender. David knew God. David had a relationship with God. He said, "Wash me from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. Put something new in me. Restore me." Listen, I see in Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah, he had a conversation with God, and God said the same thing to Isaiah, some of the same language. He said, "Even I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins." That's a good God. See, that's a good God. See, I might forgive you. Man can forgive you. Okay, we just talking about it Wednesday night. You know, you borrow my car and you wreck it and you safe and everything. You didn't get hurt. And I'm like, "I'm so glad you didn't get hurt. I'm so glad that you could have got killed. You could have got hurt real bad. And I forgive you for wrecking the car." And then a week later you say, "Dad, can I borrow the car?" Y'all know the rest of that story, right? See. Paul even talked about it's all about having our sins blocked out, because we all have that history. All of us have a history. And some people, I heard Sylvia say this morning, you know, you try to preach to people and talk to people about life, about restoration, about coming to the Lord, and they say, "Well, you know, you did your thing, and I've heard it. Now you all, you telling me not to live. That's really what they'd be saying to us. Paul, writing to the Colossian church, he says this. He says, the blotting out of the handwriting of the ordinance that was against you. How was it blotted out? Paul's writing to the Gentiles now. He said, how was these sins blotted out? It's important that we know. He says, and it took out of the way, nailing it to the cross. When Jesus came and died on that cross, and we received him as Savior and Lord for dying on that cross, our sins were nailed to the cross. Amen. Our sins were nailed to the cross. What sins? Every sin. Amen. Every sin. And that question comes up constantly in Christian circles. Because folks, let me tell you something. The devil wants you to believe that your sins are not forgiven. That is Satan's number one job. When you talk about John 10:10, for Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, one of his number one techniques is that your sins ain't forgiven. Because if he can get you to believe that your sins ain't forgiven, then he can get you to believe that you're not going to heaven. And even if you know you're going to heaven, he want to make your life or your journey as miserable as possible while you're on your way. So many people will talk to me and say, well, how do you know your sins are forgiven? Because the scripture says, my sins are forgiven. What sins of yours have been forgiven? All my sins have been forgiven. And you have to be dogmatic, or you're not going to be able to help folks. Because folks are looking and searching and seeking answers to why or how can a sinner get to heaven. There's only one way. We talk about the scriptures all the time, and Acts 4:12 comes up all the time. There's none other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. Paul talking to the Corinthian church, and the Corinthian church was sort of scattered, sort of carnal, and they were acting like they had it all together when they really didn't. And if it wasn't for God, they'd be still in the pit. And Paul had to rebuke them and challenge them. Because see, we can get a little high and mighty. We get saved, our sins are washed away, now we're walking around laying it on thick on everybody else. When the Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, then not of yourself. Paul writing to those Corinthian churches, 1 Corinthians 9, and he wanted them to know, be reminded, that the life which he has been saved from. I need constant reminders. I'll share my testimony with you guys all the time. Because there was a time I fit in here. And I always would say, well, there's a big list. That's a big list. And Paul made it big because he didn't want nobody to leave thinking they had it all together. They didn't need a Savior. Everybody in this room, everybody here today needs a Savior. Everybody in here needs to confess sins. Everybody in here needs to repent and turn and walk away and live a new life. Paul writing said, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That ought to be enough to stir you up. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Who's the unrighteous? All of us. So if your name don't show up on the list, you know it's right there, number one. Because the Bible said there are none righteous. No, not one. No, not one. Be not deceived. What's another name for Satan? Deceiver. Deceiver. You know what Satan wants to deceive you? Well, you are right. Don't listen to that preacher. You ain't got to confess no sins. You ain't got to confess no sins. You ain't got to repent. You just on your way to heaven. Now, be not deceived, neither fornicators. I take for granted we know this stuff. Everybody know what a fornicator is? Everybody know a fornicator is someone having a sexual relationship with someone that's not your husband or your wife. Okay? I just want to make it clear because some people, what do you mean, Mom? What do you mean, Dad? What's a fornicator? Okay? nor idolaters. Idolater would be somebody that you love more than God. Nor adulterers. Everybody know what adultery is? Okay, you marry. Now, you marry and you fornicate with somebody that's your husband. Or your wife. These folks ain't going to heaven. That's what the text is saying. Amen. So if you fornicate and you are adultering, that's a word. Amen. Nor effeminate. Everybody know what effeminate means? Okay? You in a relationship with someone of your same gender. Now, I know everybody, all dogs go to heaven. Okay? There's a good movie. I watched it. And I'm like, this dog's trying to go back home for heaven. He's trying to go back home. Listen, no abusers of themselves with mankind. You know what that one means too? Ties right in with the effeminate. Okay? Nor thieves. Okay? You like to go to the stores and put stuff in your pockets? Yeah, but there's stuff out with them young boys. They go into Arab stores and just rob them. And steal up everything. Nor thieves. Won't be no thieves in heaven. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Nor covetousness. Wanting everything, don't want to work for it. Nor drunkards. See, we soften it up. He's, well, he's got a drinking problem. No drunkards. Alcoholic. Now they're born again. All these folks can be born again.
Amen.
Okay? This is not saying they're going to be no born again folk in heaven. They're going to be some born again drunkards in heaven, going born again adulterers in heaven, some born again abusers themselves in heaven, feminine people, all that folk going to be in heaven. You say, well, the Bible said they ain't going to heaven. No, they're going to go to heaven, but they got to confess their sin and repent. I get it all the time. People say, well, in your church, if you go by that Bible, you're not going to have no sinners in your church. There shouldn't be no sinners in anybody's church. Somebody says, wait a minute, pastor, in the church, sinners, no. It should be no folks living lifestyles of sin openly, not with no desire to confess it and no desire to repent from it, sitting up in church every Sunday. They got places for them folks. Okay? It's called nightclubs and bars and casinos. This is where them folk hang out. This is a place where people of God come to fellowship.
Amen.
And to worship and to praise God. And if you're praising God and you're an adulterer, what kind of praise is that? What kind of praise? How are you praising God? You just got out of bed with somebody that ain't your husband. And hop up in the choir stand. How can you praise God when you in a homosexual relationship and you comfortable in it? And you don't want to repent from it. You like it, and if you had your way, you would turn the whole church out. And such were some of you. Uh-huh. I can't miss that part.
Amen.
Okay? It was only by the grace of God I didn't get turned out. Okay? See, some of you, listen, it's only by the grace of God that I'm not living in fornication or not committing adultery at this moment. I am not sitting here talking like I'm beyond this stuff. Thank you, Jesus, every day.
Amen.
Keep on praying for your pastor. Okay? Thank you. And such were some of you. But you've been washed. Washed. That Holy Ghost, when that Holy Ghost come into your life, and that Holy Spirit come into your life, it's a purify, has a purified effect on you. You got the Holy Ghost and things change. Can't walk the same. Can't talk the same. Can't sing the same. Can't go to my own places because you now you purified.
Thank you, Lord.
Not only have you been washed, the Bible said, not only have you been washed, you've been sanctified. How about that? You know what I mean to be sanctified? See, so when I say sanctify, y'all think Holy Ghost, holiness churches and Holy Ghost fire and deliverance. Everybody that's saved is sanctified. Okay? Sanctified is the process of you becoming more and more and more like Jesus. Okay? It's a perfecting process where you are being perfected every day. I've been saved. God saved me. That means he filled me with his spirit. And now, because I have this spirit in me, I'm desiring the things that strengthen me and strengthen my walk and give me courage to do the things that I know give God glory. Sanctify. Sanctify. We don't even want to talk about it. I don't want nobody to know I'm sanctified. Well, listen, let me tell you something. That may be the number one sign that you're not. Not to be ashamed of, you sanctified. Don't mean you got to wear blue jean dresses and you can't wear makeup and lipstick. That ain't what sanctified
means. Amen.
Nothing like a beautiful, sanctified woman.
Amen.
A little help. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just sitting here like, okay, now God said, now you've been sanctified. Look at the third thing Jesus says. Listen to the same thing Paul says through the power of the Spirit of God. He said, not only have you been washed, okay? Not only have you been washed, not only are you been sanctified, but here you go, you've been justified. Justified. See, them folks, like I said, them folks in Hollywood ain't going to justify you. Well, you'll never be justified. You are done. Your career is over, okay? But when you sin and God justifies you, guess what? Your career just beginning. Your career just started. Okay? The moment you get saved, the day you get saved, life begins. Life begins. The day you get saved, life begins. Okay? You're not living until you're saved. Because when you die, the living is over. When a man of God, a woman of God die, life has just begun. It becomes wonderful. Becomes beautiful. Becomes beautiful. Listen, and such were some of you, but you've been sanctified. You've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this now. And by the Spirit of our God. What a message Paul preaching to these folks. He's preaching these folks. And as a missionary, he preached everywhere he went. And then you go places now, people don't want to talk about being sanctified. They don't want to preach on repentance. They don't want to scare nobody away. Repentance is a hard subject. Folk don't want to hear because when you say you need to repent, that's almost like saying, well, who do you think he is? Because, see, someone say you need to repent, that means you got something going on. And you need to repent from it. Turn from it. That's all it means, turn from it. How many of us are turn from stuff? If you go to the doctor say, you know what? Bruh, you need to turn from some all them sweets and all that salt and different things. You turn from something. Change your whole diet up. But when a man of God, speaking through the power of God's word, said, listen, we need to repent.
Amen.
Okay? We need to repent. Turn somebody. The old fire and brimstone preacher would say, turn or burn. We can't preach that now because we got to be more gentle and we're dealing with a different type of people today. You got to be real gentle. Paul was gentle. Paul said when he's talking to the Colossian church, now he's preaching out of jail. Can you imagine a man writing stuff out of jail? He locked up and he preaching freedom to folks. Paul says, Colossians 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Same message. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cannot come on the children of disobedience. Listen, he never changed. Let me give you another verse. I don't want to lay on that one too much. Because I want to talk about our history and what God has done for us, what he's done for us, and Paul writing to the church. And he write it to Titus. He write it to Pastor Titus. He said, Pastor Titus, here's what you got to preach. When you read Titus and 1st and 2nd Timothy, those are considered the pastoral epistle. Paul's steps in the church. And he's helping these young preachers and giving them what the Word of God, what part of the Word of God needs to be preached. He said, Titus, preach this. Preach this. Don't let these folks forget who they are. This is why we talk about Black History Month. When we got Christian History Month, we don't want to forget who we are, where we came from. See, when we forget where we come from, we can get haughty. We don't have no gratitude. You know, we don't have no humility. We don't have any mercy for other people because we forgot where we came from. We forgot the hole that God pulled us out of, and we talk crazy to everybody. And folks say, you know, you talking down there. No. I know the hole I came out of. Okay. He said, Titus, here we go. Speak to the people. He says, for we ourselves. This is Paul. Paul was a murderer. Paul was a resurrectionist. He was a evil, wicked man. Evil, wicked man. He was on his way to kill folk, kill Christians, lock them up, men, women, and children. He didn't care. He never forgot who he was. He never forgot his past. And he shared it everywhere he went. And he says in Titus chapter 3, he said, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish. Anybody can relate to that? Anybody can relate to that? We ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving. Watch this now. Serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. Anybody can relate to that?
Amen.
So I say, well, that Bible, oh, that's brand new. That's 2019. That's all you see. That's all you read. That's all you hear. On the turn on the TV, turn on the radio, open up the newspaper. Hate, hate, hate.
Yeah.
Hate, hate, hate. But that shouldn't be for the man of God, for the woman of God, because the Word of God says so, not me. But after the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. The day you got saved, the day God spoke to your heart, the day God opened your heart and spoke to it, that's when the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Watch this now. But according to his mercy, he saved us. According to his mercy, he saved us. How? Same thing. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, some folks need to be washed. Some folks just need renewing.
Amen.
Okay? Peter came in the room and he said, Peter, I just washed your feet. All Jesus wanted to do was wash his feet. Because we're walking out in this world, and sometimes we can get off the wrong track, and we can get off the old beaten path, and we find ourselves back in some mess, and God said, I didn't come in here, let me regenerate you. Let me regenerate you. But some folk been lost since the day they've been born, and they never been born again, and they never been saved, and they need to be washed. Okay? And you know it. I need the whole thing. It's like going to car wash. Sometimes you can go to car wash and you say, well, you want the $6 one without the air blower, or you want the one with just the, then you, no, I want the max. Give me everything, wax, undercoat, armor, all, and the interior, incense, everything.
Yeah.
And then some of us, we just want to just wash it. Just out has been run. Yeah, that's all. Y'all know y'all. hit that $15 one, $20 one, get the whole thing done. Take it somewhere where you gotta get out the car and they come in and vacuum everything. That's what Paul's saying. Remember your past. Watch this now. I know I can stay on this stuff all day because this is so good to me, and it helped me. Clemens was talking. He said, you be preaching some stuff. I said, Thomas, a lot of time I preach myself. I'll be sitting here and I'm just listening, just like you. Paul says to Ephesian church, every church, same message. Y'all know this with Paul. He didn't have no whole buffet of messages. He didn't have a whole buffet of messages. They're gonna preach the five love languages, and we're gonna preach this. Paul said, listen. And you have he quickened. Ephesians 2 and 1. And you have he quickened, made alive, woke up, shook. See, some folks, you can't, you know, that Joel Osteen stuff don't work on everybody. Amen. Some folks, you gotta shake them. I had a foster kid once. Boy, sleep through a hurricane. You see, you gotta go in there, listen, get up, wake up, shake the bed. I mean, some folks sound asleep. They like, you know, sound asleep. Sleep hard. Anybody here sleep hard? Some of us sleep light. I had talked to another minister. He said, pray for me. I'm only getting 4 hours of sleep a night. I said, pray for you only getting 4 hours of sleep. You ought to praise God for 4 hours of sleep. Because if I get 4 hours of sleep, that's a lot for me. I'm working on 2 to 3. Okay? Don't get much. Man of God ain't getting much sleep. But watch this. Paul says to the Ephesians, he said, and you who had quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Let me tell you something. Remember our past. Anybody here remember when you was dead to sin?
Amen.
Dead to sin. Anything come out of your mouth? Didn't care. Anything come out of your mouth, you didn't care. You say it didn't. No respect for nothing. No respect for nothing. No respect for God. No respect for God's people, the church. Ride by the church. Didn't care if the church throw a beer bottle out. I go out here, pick up bottles all the time. I don't care. You know, you just don't care. Dead spiritually. When somebody talk to you about the things of God, I'm doing my thing. Because that's a sign that you're spiritually dead. They don't like spirit life in you. You ain't reading the Daily Bread. You're not, if you pick up the Vindicator, you're not even going to read that one little verse of the day. That's too long. Because you spiritually, you have no interest at all in the things of God. That's what Paul means when he says spiritually dead. No, and I've been there.
Amen.
And I know what it took. A good shaking up, a good stirring up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay? Watch what Paul says. He said, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's who we serve. We serve the devil. Now we say we serve a risen Savior, but there was a time we didn't serve a risen Savior. There was a time we didn't serve a risen Savior. We didn't want to hear about no risen Savior. Okay? Let me give you this. Y'all know the routine. I just put all this stuff together and I say, well, you know, I'll let the Lord lead me to where he want me to go with this message. But here's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Then I looked at it a lot different this week because it's Black History Month. And it's good to know where we came from. And I may call it Black Christian Month. Okay? Because we have a past. Okay? And we had this history in the civil rights movement. We had this history of slavery. And I see so many pictures and stuff. And I don't know where this stuff is coming from. Because I see all these brothers hanging from trees. And people send me this stuff all the time. Brothers hanging from trees. And all the torture. And I'm sitting here like, okay, I get it. It was a horrible time. But I think about the brothers in the 50s and the 60s that overcame a lot of stuff and became successful and many of them became great. And sometimes I don't know, sometimes I think, you know, it's just put out there too much. Because the past is important, but you got to make sure you can grow from it. And you get stuck.
Amen.
You get stuck. And I don't want nobody to get stuck. And Paul didn't want nobody to get stuck. He talked about the past all the time. Watch this now. Watch this verse. Here's 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. And Paul's talking about this past. This wonderful, wonderful time that he did when he came to know the Lord. He said, wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, know we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now watch the next verse. That might have been a little difficult, but this one you're familiar with. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man been born again, if any man been saved, he is a new creature. He's a new creature. Meaning he has a new nature. He's been born again. He's saved. He has new goals, new thoughts, new behaviors, new attitudes. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's hard for me to think. Some people ain't nothing passed away. They ain't forgiven nobody. They ain't forgetting nothing. They ain't forgiving nobody. They still mad at their third grade teacher be 60 years old. They have a wonderful memory of all the craziness that goes on in their life. And it's almost like, how can we get to be 60, 61, and 62 and don't have nothing wonderful has gone on in our lives? I sit here and I think about it. I say, man, just you got to have some wonderful stuff. You can't just let all your attention go to that little area. Paul said, behold, all things have become new. What's become new? Here's what Paul meant. And all things are of God and who have reconciled us to him by Jesus Christ. What's that mean? When Jesus died on the cross, I know I just crossed you to death.
Amen.
Cross you to death. When Jesus died on the cross, he reconciled the world to himself. When he didn't die on the cross for himself, he died on the cross for us.
Amen.
He died on the cross for us. And he reconciled us to him. How? By shedding his blood. By shedding his blood. And watch this now. He have given us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay? You know what that means? Having a ministry of reconciliation. You can go around and you can talk to people. And they're going to ask you, what happened? I'm looking at you and behold, I see something new. And now you hit them with this ministry of reconciliation. I ain't saying no more. There's been a change in me. Okay? And God has reconciled me to himself. I had a problem with God. Remember, you're born with a problem with God. You are born with a problem with God. And that problem, as you get older, that problem gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And until you reconcile it, okay? Until you reconcile it, until you come into... You ever been at odds with somebody? You got somebody you at odds with. Can't be in the same room with them. If you know they coming, you ain't going. And this happens with families.
Amen.
Okay? Well, I ain't going to the family reunion because he going to be there. She going to be there. He got his new wife. And she got a new husband. And he got all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then the battle goes on. But we had the same problem with God. We didn't like his rules. We didn't like his laws. We didn't like what he liked and all that stuff. And that's what you have to come to understanding. Well, I got to be reconciled with God. He's going to win. I mean, he's going to win. Paul says, not only give you a ministry of reconciliation, the Bible says he gives you a word of reconciliation. A word of reconciliation. When you talk to somebody, say, hey, you know what? What God did for me, he's still doing. What God does for me, he's still doing. That's what he means in verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. We are his spokesmen. If you're a child of God, you're a spokesman for Christ. You have to declare God. Everywhere you go, you got to tell people how good God is. Shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be hard, but I notice the absence of it because rarely if I'm out anywhere, anybody going to come up to me and talk to me about God. Talk to me about Jesus. But we are his ambassadors. You know, you got ambassadors go all over the country. The president appoints ambassadors, they go all over the country. You know what they do? They tell the people how wonderful America is. and why you ought to do business with us. You know, we are ambassadors. We ought to be going all over the world telling people how wonderful God is, and you ought to do business with God. You ought to get right with God, and you ought to give your life to the Lord. You ought to ask God to save you and give you the faith to believe. The Bible is so hard for me to believe, Pastor. I try to read it, but it put me to sleep. I try to read it. It don't make no sense. I've tried the King James Version, the NIV, the NIK, the DDD. I've tried all the versions, and it don't matter. You're not going to get an understanding up until God gives you the faith to believe. God, give me the faith to believe. Give me the faith to believe. Give me a desire for the things of God. Give me a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. You got to ask for God to give you that. See, we ask for all kinds of stuff. I need a new car. I need a man. I need a woman. I need a job. You need a relationship.
Amen.
You need a new spirit. You need the faith to believe. You need the faith to live by. Y'all know the sign out there? Listen, without faith, it's impossible to believe God. But listen, let me tell you something. Without faith, it's impossible to receive from God. Why would God give somebody anything without faith in Him?
Amen.
Think about that. You're going to God, you're going to ask Him for all this stuff. Heal my body, heal my loved one, you know, fix my marriage, fix my finances. And God is saying, without faith, I ain't doing nothing for you. We come to God with all our whole menu of stuff we need, but no faith. Faith. Somebody say faith is the what? The key that unlocks the door. So you're not getting nowhere with God without faith. You know how people don't want to tell you that. Because they're going to say, well, you know, come to Jesus. I'm praying for you. Listen, you better make sure the person praying for you got faith. Okay? You know, we take for granted. Everybody got faith. Everybody don't. Everybody talking about Jesus or everybody talking about heaven. Well, I don't know where we at. I have this verse. And I'm close with it. Hope everything's ready outside. Here's a young man, born in the house of God, had a godly father, raised him in the things of God, modeled that behavior before him. This son knew his father loved the Lord. He didn't. The Bible says in Luke 15, he said a certain man had two sons. And the younger said unto the father, Father, give me the portion of the good that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days, the younger son gathered together and took a journey into a far country. Anybody been to the far country?
Amen.
Oh, fun too, wasn't it? See, somebody said, the pleasure of sin last for a season. Nobody said sin wasn't fun. See, we y'all get the idea of a preacher, wow, sin ain't fun. No, sin is fun. Sin, when we had a good time sinning. Come on, Roy. I'll put somebody on blast in a minute. But we had, I mean, sin, we had fun. But it only lasts for a season. Okay? And some seasons last longer than other seasons. You take in front of sporting exam, football season's too short for folks who love football, and baseball too long for folks who don't like baseball. But it's still seasons.
Amen.
And the problem with things lasting for a season, you can stay out there too long.
Yeah.
See? And you can stay out there too long, and you can stay in that season too long, and you have to pay attention. And you don't have to be 60 years old. Because some folks staying in situations and they 20 years old and that season is over for that. And we sang a song, let's get right church and let's go home. Sometimes you have to leave the party early.
Amen.
Oh, nobody heard me. Sometimes you got to leave the party early. How many been somewhere and you saying, this ain't right?
Amen.
This ain't right. It's some strange characters here.
See, we had a thing when I worked in the prisons. Working in the prison, we had our Christmas party. Okay? And when the warden and all the executives was there, everything was cool. But nobody acted up. Nobody even acting up. But soon as the warden left, as soon as the executive left, folk be in there fighting up on the tables and doing all kind of crazy stuff. So after a couple of years, I said, hey, you know, when the warden leave, you ought to leave. See, sometimes we stay too long. And all the signs is coming up. All the signs are showing up. I've been doing this too long. Okay? I've been doing this too long, so I need to lead this party. Well, this young man, listen, he stayed a little too long. And it says, and not many days after the younger gathered all together, took his journey, a journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And you can define riotous living however you want to, but I call it living without a fear of God. Living without a fear of God. And listen, I'm way out in the far country. God is out of, I'm out of God's sight. How many know what sovereign means? Now watch this now. He stayed too long and he spent all. And there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. Now, one of the signs that you stay too long is you in want. See? You in want. I used to sit here and tell my boy, I say, hey, whatever you got, I'll double. You got 20, I'll give you 40. You got 40, I'll give you 80. And I can say that because I know he has zero. And in want, see, and when you're getting want, this is the danger about staying in a season too long. And when you're getting want, watch this now. You start doing things that you wouldn't normally do. Okay? You start going places you wouldn't normally go. You start hanging out with people you wouldn't hang out with. Because now you're in want, and now desperation is set in, and now you're liable to do something that's going to cause you a world of pain. Okay? I often tell them young boys, I say, hey, look, let me tell you something. You can do something right here today. Any of us in here today can go out and do something crazy and never go home again.
Amen.
Never go home again. In a twinkling of an eye, one bad decision, and you can be forever gone. Gone. Never sleep in your own bed no more. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. One of his country, of that country. And sent him into the fields to feed swine. Let me tell you something. A Jewish boy would never come near swine. Never go near swine. This was the equivalent of him just being homeless. Living in on the streets and ready to eat out of trash cans. And he would faint, fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave him anything. What's my point? We can get out to the far country, and it ain't always easy to come back. I heard a preacher preach a message at a funeral. I thought I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it when he said it, because he said this boy was in the far country. And he got killed on his way back from the far country. And his father sort of like came and got him, and he was with his father in heaven. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that, and I still don't understand it, but I'm saying something. You don't want to get stuck in the far country. Okay? Because these preachers will tell you anything you want to hear. But if you die in the far country, you're not liable to get buried in the far country. So we had to ask God, listen, all these messages, all these verses about our past, and we all have a past, and that past ought to humble us. And if you've been delivered from the far country, you ought to be so excited to tell somebody about how God delivered you. You're an ambassador. You're an ambassador. And they ain't coming no age limit. Justin want to get baptized next week. And I say, hey, man, when you get baptized, I don't like it. I don't like doing it. I'll be honest, and I'm not saying this to discourage you. I want to baptize you, but I don't. I'm scared. I've baptized folks, and not many of them still here. I don't even know what their relationship is with God. Mm-hmm. So I'm nervous about it. Excited? God going to call an 11-year-old boy that going to give his life to the Lord and serve God all his life. But going to be an ambassador, because when you step out around your cousins and your friends, and they go, church boy. Hey, church boy. Choir boy, and all, you can hear all that, and you got to march on. Peer group pressure. Folks is commit suicide because of peer group pressure. Uh-huh. Folks is, when you're young kids, there was a young boy, he had a bag. He was like 12 years old, he had a bag. They went to school, they teased him about the bag. This is a cruel world. It's a cruel world. And the boy hung himself because he teased him about the bag. Let me tell you something, folks. People don't speak highly of Christians unless you fake. But if you're real, and if you're serious about the things of God, and you out here worshiping and praising God, you are truly His ambassador, believe me, you're not going to listen. Ain't nobody going to sit here and be inviting you places and welcoming you and friending you. They're going to mock you. They want you back. And Satan's going to send his minions after you. You better be ready. You better be ready. You better be tough. I get this thing where, Christianity is tough. I don't even know if people teach like this anymore. Them disciples was tough. Them apostles was tough. They weren't weak. Everybody God used in the Bible was tough. You can't find one person in the Bible that God used that wasn't tough. And Satan got the church believing that only sissies and soft people are Christians. And that's why people avoid it. And I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I'm a Rastafarian. I don't want to be Nation of Islam. Because they think that's tough. Ain't nothing tougher than being a Christian. Okay, he was like, listen, I may be the man of cloth, but I ain't soft. See, and you become ambassador. And Justin, when you acknowledge Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you say, I want to be baptized. You want to say, I'm going to be an ambassador, and you're going to walk that thing out. And you ain't going to be cool no more. What I'm trying to do is tell you, well, Pastor, I don't think I'm ready to be baptized. Now I have a love for it. If I can talk you out of it, then you won't ready for it. You hear what I said? If I can talk you out of it, if I can talk you out of being baptized, and it ain't because we got to fill that water up and undrain it if you change your mind. But if I can talk you out of it, Satan definitely can, because he's a whole lot sharper than me.
Amen.
Listen, I was baptized too, see? And I can still smoke. I was baptized too, and I still getting high. I was baptized too, and I'm still fornicating. You can do it too, Justin. See? That's how Satan gonna come at you. I've been baptized, look at me. I'm still listening to cussing music, and I'm living, See? That's what's coming. That's how Satan gonna, man, this is that bald head guy, man. I'm back. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm doing whatever I want to do. See, that's how Satan coming. Talk to me like that all the time. He know what I like. He know what my weaknesses are. Not a day go by. Hey man, when are you gonna pick up the golf clubs again? People say I don't golf no more. Well, what's wrong with golf? See, well, it may not wrong with golf, but for me, it was something wrong with it. Okay? Uh-huh. It ain't nothing wrong with it, but for me, it was something wrong with it. Because, see, for me, it was a god. it took over. Ain't nothing wrong with it, you know, that's your thing. But if you a heroin addict, would you ask a heroin addict, when you gonna do some heroin again? So that's what I'm saying. I hope you're ready for what you get into. That's all. Paul said. Paul said, I'm glad I didn't baptize but two people. Okay, and I didn't baptize three times as many people as Paul. And rarely see any of them. I'm baptized my baby. Baptized this. And I'm like, okay, I'll come drop. You know, by on the confession of the faith, you are now baptized you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And all you did is wet up a devil. They leave out of the church, out of the water, dry off, and they out of the parking lot twerking. So, I'm serious about that, and I'm gonna talk to you again today after dinner. I'm gonna hug you, and I'm gonna love you, and I want you to know what you're getting into. I just want you to know. It's a serious business, and we don't take Christianity serious. Church is a joke. And it's a serious thing. God is mad and God is upset. And God wrote this scripture. He said, 1 Peter 4:17, he said, judgment must begin in the house of God. So when he look at the murder rate, when he look at all these folks having abortions and homosexuality running through the church, he's going to judge the church. And I'm not going down with it. And I'm saying, hold on, God. Listen. I have 500 sermons online. I love you, and I preach as hard and strong as I can. Wake up. You talk. Precious Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord. This is serious business. This ain't entertainment. This is serious business, and we have to apply this to our lives. Our kids are getting slaughtered. Our young people are getting slaughtered. They're getting slaughtered. And the church is just showmanship. Playing and dancing and miming and praise dance. All that kind of stuff. And our young people are getting slaughtered. These young women leaving church, getting in relationship with animals. Getting in relationship with animals, they beating them up and slamming their heads on cars, and some of these women probably was singing in choirs, ushering and dating a madman, huh? Because the world tells, if you don't have a relationship, if you don't have a man, you're not a woman. Let me tell you something. A lot of God's women in the Bible didn't have men.
Amen.
Okay? Don't believe the lie. You got to take anything. All right, now. I'm closing now. Apply this stuff. Take the word of God seriously. Take it seriously. Know what you're getting into. See, he's only 11. Let me tell you something. By the time a Hebrew boy was 11 years old, they knew the whole Old Testament. They knew all the things about God. They knew all the laws of the Torah. They knew it because they were trained in it. Okay? Train them up. Bible says, train up a child. How? In the way he should go.